This is the truth of it. Fighting leads to killing, and killing gets to warring, and that was damn near the death of us all. Now, when men get to fighting, it happens here, and it finishes here. Two men enter, one man leaves. And right now, I've got two men. Two men with a gut full of fear. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dying time's here.
What is this job all about?
Fire.
We're back.
We are back. And I'm always amazed every time we do these podcasts. The intro. It's almost as interesting as the songs after Sopranos would end. You know, like, where do they get these songs? And the same thing.
They put a lot of thought into
it. Yeah, a lot of thought.
The intro today is actually quite appropriate because it's one of those days today.
Yes.
One of those days, one of those weeks, and it was, everything from anything to everything has pissed me off today. I mean, right. You name it. Well, that was from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, remember?
Yeah.
1985, Australian post-apocalyptic Mel Gibson. Remember, what's her name, Tina Turner?
I remember Tina Turner, yeah, a little bit before my time. 1985, I was probably working nights and sleeping during the day. So,
but it was, you know, Tina Turner, and that was Two Men Enter, One Men Leave. That's we got the picture on the screen. That's Master Blaster there, I think it was, with the little guy on top of the big guy.
Yeah, a little Jewish star on top of the little guy's head. That's interesting.
I don't think I don't know where I got that actual picture from. I don't think he's supposed to. And then the other guy's got the American flag. So
yeah, it's kind of like Samson and Goliath.
I guess. There. But I love that movie. And Thunderdome has grown near and dear to my heart. I call my girlfriend's house Thunderdome all the time. The two daughters and the son and it's Thunderdome. So, but anyway, that's not what everything else. It's pissing me off lately. Actually, the only thing that makes me happy is recording this podcast.
He's making me happy.
And my girlfriend makes me happy. Yeah. I think she's planning a birthday party for me. She invited you.
She invited me, and I had a decline.
You're going to be in China.
I'm going to be celebrating birthday with a bunch of Chinese people. But I think you guys are going to try and Skype me while I'm in China. I'll try and put some clothes on because I think we're off on the time zone. So
is it like 9 in the morning or something? Like at 9 in the night?
Yeah, we'll be at, if you do it at 8:30 at night, it'll be 9:30 at night. It'll be 9:30 in the morning in Hong Kong in China. Yeah, which where I'll be then by that time.
Well, yeah. But so, I mean, she's not pissing me off. And actually, I'm going to go with you to China. So I'll actually be with you on my actual birthday.
On the actual birthday.
So that's much more important. Yeah.
Yeah, which is really all that matters to me. I said, you know, that's nice. The parties are great, but I'll be having the real party in Hong Kong. We'll probably go to the Peak. I would imagine we go to the Peak for a nice dinner, take the tram up there. And it's incredible.
I did look up the sticky fingers, though.
Yeah.
I looked it up. I sent you that thing. Did you see it?
Yes, I did see that. Yes.
I was looking up all the reviews and all that stuff. So, I can't wait.
We're going to be in the sticky finger. We could maybe do a podcast from the sticky finger.
I don't know if we go that far, but I don't know what to picture because going to China is obviously going to be cool. You've been there so many times, it's like old hat to you. Yeah. But to me, it's kind of like, I don't know. You know, I picture like if I'm walking around with a microphone in my pocket, somebody's going to like pull me over and arrest me. I'm going to be in Chinese prison for the rest of my life. Is it, you know, I mean, we're not going to Red China.
No,
we're not going to,
no,
you know,
no.
we're not going to end up in, prison.
No,
I hope not.
You're going to be in all the, be in Hong Kong and Macau. So that'll be a lot. That's almost like, kind of United States with a Chinese flair.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and we will record a podcast. You know, for the free you know, it's a bunch of free that we're giving people. Hopefully people listen, but the podcasts are free. And I can't remember a time where I've heard a podcast where they've been to Chicago, Fargo, Iowa, and China all within like the first 7 months.
No, usually the guy doesn't even leave his bedroom.
Well, yes, I know. But I mean, yeah. So, but that being said, the things that are pissing me off, I'm going to go through them in order, not any particular order.
It's like the David Letterman's top 10.
Yes, exactly. Okay. First of all, tube-free toilet paper. Have you seen this?
Oh, yes. I saw the tube-free toilet paper.
But did
paper.
You see how they measure it? We talked about this on an earlier podcast, how they bring up these units of measurement that nobody could ever possibly
figure out.
Yeah, you know what their unit of measurement is? It's, well, first of all, which I, how do they know this? But I guess you could figure it out. But I said that annually we throw out, as a country or a world, I don't even know, but 17 billion toilet paper tubes.
17 billion
toilet paper tubes. Yeah. And that's enough to fill the Empire State Building twice. Now, who could, again, with the units of measure, but if you take the toilet paper without the roller in there, it's like ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. It doesn't roll.
I can
nice.
See this toilet paper ripping
yes.
every perforated section, and I come up with a bunch of squares.
Exactly.
And I like to make a mitt, you know? I like to make a regular mitt there, you know?
You wrap it around a few fingers and get in there.
I want to make a regular mitt.
You got to.
And I don't want a bunch of little loose sheets.
And then you'll have Klingons around
this. This is like the Bounty picker-upper. These aren't supposed to be perforated sheets. Let me tear it off where I want to tear it off. I think that's what I got to do. If we're going to go with this tubeless toilet paper, then let's get rid of the perforated ends, because I'll be the judge of ripping it when I want
to
rip it.
I'm strong enough to rip
I don't
a
need,
sheet of toilet
you know,
paper.
Do you ever get that in a shopping mall, you know, bathroom? They got this like spacer that kind of clung, so it actually rips it for you.
Right, and then you never have enough.
Yeah, and I have to go real slow.
Yes,
and, you know,
we've all been there.
Yeah,
we've all been
this
there.
I got a feeling they're going to start this in my own house with this tubeless toilet paper stuff.
It's horrendous. Yeah, well, it is. I mean, it's what are the kids going to use for like projects? I mean, you use toilet paper tubes, right?
Yeah.
And this going way back when I was little, we used to celebrate Christmas, and they used to, you know, we were poor, whatever, but we used to, my uncle Ted, I'll never forget, and he used to save toilet paper tubes before Christmas, and everybody would get one, and then we would sit around the Christmas table, and we would go toot-toot-toot-toot, and he used to call it a toot-toot-toot, and he's like, go get your toot-toot-toot, and it was a toilet paper tube. Now you're going to take away my toot-toot-toot.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the paper towel tubes. I used those as my aqua tanks when I was, you know, doing Mike Nelson from Sea Hunt.
Right.
You know, and now I have no aqua tanks anymore.
Right, right. And I think I used toilet paper tubes on my paper mache dinosaur, which you already hammered me about last time. So we won't even go there. Okay, another thing that pissed me off, construction. I go to about 20 miles to work every day, and I think about 16 or 17 miles of it is under construction. And we live in this city, or, you know, I live in the city. You can't help it. I wish somebody would think, you know, would, how about we put all the guys that are working on construction all in one spot?
What I like to know is, they just finished a road like last year, and the road is beautiful, but yet they're still doing something on the road. Like,
right.
I honestly think they make up work as they go along. You know, they actually sabotage themselves. I mean, you know, Illinois
job security.
Yeah, Illinois is the worst state. I think, I think we're, you know, the worst now to live in, and construction's always been bad, but it just seems like they finish these roads, they spend billions of dollars, and then next you know they're doing something else on the road. I'm like, what could you possibly be doing? You just fixed it.
Right. And next to piss me off is construction is horrible. And next to piss me off is, within the last 3 weeks, I've had a colonoscopy and my prostate checked twice.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've lost my watertight seal. I have nothing, you know, and you got to drink that stuff that flushes you out. I think I saw a piece of chewing gum from like 1978 that I swallowed, and I'm done with having that done to me. Turning this age, that's what happens.
That's why I'm always depressed. I mean, you know, if we're fighting old age here, you know. And, I had to go for an upper and a lower.
I don't even know
what they are. That's the funny thing.
Did they give you pictures?
And they did give me some type of picture.
I got pictures.
They put some type of ring in my throat or something. I'm supposed to call the doctor up, but he's supposed to call me, but obviously he hasn't heard from me, so he's like, he's fine. And then people say, you know, why don't you ask him questions? I did ask him a question. I come out of surgery or whatever. And he's like, any questions? I said, who does your hair? That was the question I asked. I'm looking up at him. His hair looked terrible. And I said, who does your hair?
That was really your question.
That was my question.
For the upper GI doctor.
Yeah, I mean, you know. And then they said, you can eat. I said, can I eat anything I want? Yeah, you can eat anything you want. Well, I went home. I made this big, juicy steak because I haven't eaten in 2 days. Uh-huh. And then I realized after making this big, juicy steak, I can't swallow my own saliva without hurting me. So I took 3 bites, and I couldn't eat this steak anyway. So now I didn't eat Wednesday. I didn't eat Thursday, and hardly ate Friday because I couldn't swallow nothing.
Well, I didn't have that problem. I mean, I had the I didn't they didn't have to go in my yeah, they didn't go well, upper they just went lower
they
for
had
me.
A stretch,
but I've had enough
some esophagus or something out there.
It's just I'm sick of things going up my
yeah.
My
but rear I know end. I had to do it twice. All
well,
of a
I did a prostate exam twice. Once with the real doctor, once with my general physician, and then once with the urologist.
Oh, okay.
So
gotcha.
You know, well, it's not, you know, the doctor's like, oh, I don't find anything. It's not for lack of looking.
Yeah, I mean,
you feel any pressure? Yeah, the roof of my mouth. Get it out.
Yeah, I know. I just remember the doctor saying this won't hurt. And I said, I know. I was in prison, and that was no camera.
and then another thing that's pissing me off is diet. I've been on a diet. I'm dying. You know, being heavy is horrible, and I'm trying to lose weight. I mean, I went to the doctor. I was almost, you know, I thought there was two of me on the scale at some point. It's like, I got to go on a diet. But just being on a diet aggravates
yeah,
the hell
it's
out
very
of
aggravating.
Yogurt and cottage cheese every day.
Yeah, no, I mean, see, that's why I always tell people, eat what you can when you're young, because they'll tell you what you can have when you get older.
Right.
So yeah. We're just on the verge of that. They're going to start taking away everything that we know and love little by
right.
little.
Exactly. And, you can't, I mean, yeah. You know, I would love to have a Jimmy John sandwich for lunch today. No,
oh,
I had
that
I had
sounds good. Cottage, I haven't eaten nothing all day.
I had cottage you know? Cheese with chives and some veggie chips. Mm. Yeah, that's hideous. What else is bugging me lately? I have a roommate that needs to check himself into anger management classes.
He does seem a little bit high stress and
he's
angry.
He's very
yeah.
very angry. I'm not even going to go into all the yeah. crap that's going on with him. Yeah. High school hockey. My son's trying out for hockey, and hockey around here in Illinois, they don't tell you. You know, it's like, you're going to pay us $200 to try out, but we won't tell you if you're on the team. And when they get to a certain age in high school, it's a mess. This whole, I said a month ago, the tryout season for my son was going to give me agita. Did your grandma ever tell you you're going to get agita? You know what agita is?
Yes, yeah.
Ulcers, whatever. I got that. I have a son over there who doesn't brush his teeth, apparently. The orthodontists are yelling at me that he needs to brush his teeth. And last and not least is this.
So this is number one. This is the top.
No, this is top 10. Did I even go through 10? But one, yeah. The number one thing that pet peeves, and actually I was a David Letterman once, not to regress, but I went to see David Letterman. I was in New York and I saw the David Letterman show, and I'll never forget the top 10 list was God's top 10 pet peeves. And I remember, and it was near Thanksgiving time. So, and I think one of them was people who size up the turkey during grace. I thought that was funny. But anyway, but the number one pet peeve, I would have had a little musical thing or whatever. But, and we'll do this later. We're going to go through some fireworks stuff soon. But I mean, the number one pet peeve is this whole nonsense with this ice bucket challenge.
The ice bucket challenge is just a retarded thing.
Ridiculous. Let's say ridiculous.
And I
ridiculous
told everybody,
thing.
Do not nominate Johnny Starr because I will break the chain. I'm
right.
not donating
right.
any money.
Right. Right.
You know, and the only thing I know about Lou Gehrig's disease is from the movie Ted. That's the only thing I ever heard.
You'll have that later on.
Yeah,
end,
Lou Gehrig's disease. And then and I'm seeing people, you know, get hit in the head with the bucket from the ice bucket challenge.
Right.
That has to hurt.
Well, yeah, and I have some news stories. We'll do that real quick.
Yeah.
About, did you see on the way in, you went through the garage, did you see the big, huge tub full of ice water? There's a big tub of ice water out there. And I put some fireworks in there. So you and I are going to do our own ice bucket challenge. So if anybody ever tells you from now on, hey, I nominated you, you could just say, go listen to my podcast, Fireworks Brigade, fireworksbrigade.com.
So we are
going to
do.
We're going to do a pot.
So we're going to do the ice bucket challenge.
Yes, as much as it kills me. But, you know, if you're a high school kid and you're doing it to get laid, or if you're, you know, whatever, and I understand it, it's cute and it's sweet and it's like, oh yeah, haha, but no, I'm a grown man. I'm not going to pour ice water over my head. I give to charity already. I'm the president of a local non-for-profit. I've been with the charity for 10 years. I just wrote them a check for $850 like 2 weeks ago. Don't ask me for, what is it, $10 or something,
$20? I mean, if anyone knows, you know, about Johnny Starr being a philanthropist, it's you.
Yes.
I mean, you see the checks that go out of Starfire. fireworks and every, you know, I mean, even like that that group Mad Mothers, you know, got us. And then I had to get the group from Dam. I have to give money to Dam, Drunks Against Mad Mothers, because I don't want to leave them out. It's, you know, it's constant. And
you give away those, give away the lanterns.
The sky lanterns and for the, we help the Comus children.
Yeah.
We sponsor all those baseball teams. I mean, so yeah, I'm not, you know, and none of those, I see a bucket of ice water going over my head. I see a pinched nerve coming.
Exactly.
I'm going to cringe.
Hypothermia
and,
at the very least.
And I shouldn't cringe over nothing.
Right.
It's one thing to cringe when you're writing out a check, but it's a different thing to cringe when you got a big bucket of ice cold water, which is, I don't even agree with that.
Right, right.
You know, how about the ice bucket challenge be like, hey, let's eat a hot fudge sundae? You know, the ice cream challenge. You know, I don't need a bucket of ice. I mean, who eats ice? It's not good for your teeth either.
And after your upper GI, that's about all you can eat is ice cream.
Yeah. you can't even eat Jell-O. I like Bobby Brady.
I got some Jell-O in the fridge if you want some. So, but anyway, we'll do the ice bucket challenge later. So, but those were my top, you know, my pet peeves. And but it's just today's been a horrible day. And like I said, you know, my roommate needs room, you know, anger management counseling, high school hockey, all that, you know, construction. I mean, today, a holiday. I don't know. It's brutal. But anyway, last we met, we were at the PGI. So let's talk about the PGI.
Okay, the PGI. And just one more thing before we get off the topic, because we should finish on a good note. And this is what I learned in anger management years ago.
I didn't know you went.
Oh, yes.
Well, did it work?
Yeah. Well, look at how happy I am. Every day is a Saturday in my life.
Reminds me of, not to go back, we'll get to your story. But we've talked about the Oklahoma Sooner.
Yeah.
Remember we had the girls on the boat, and it was nighttime in Lake Michigan. And they wanted to go home, remember?
Oh, yeah. And I said, nobody is leaving.
We talked about this before we left. Yeah. Nobody's going home.
No, yeah. You're not going home now. We're not cutting the trip short. I mean, yeah, it's okay. She's throwing up, but that doesn't affect day on the boat. And it should.
Yeah, we're here to have fun, and we're going to be singing Zippity Doo.
Did the Titanic turn around when it hit an iceberg? No.
No, it kept going. That's right.
Did Leonardo DiCaprio give up? No, he kept going. Didn't the lady blow the whistle at the end? She kept going. So, yeah, so that's my theory. Keep going. But in anger management, the thing that you learn, and it's very easy, and you should recite this to Paul or even recite it yourself when you get angry. I've done it many times. It's pins and needles, needles and pins. It's a happy man that grins.
There you go. So, that's what the honeymooners.
The honeymooners, yes. Yeah. So we have to remember that, and it does help.
It does. And, well, that was the old Ed Norton trick. Yeah. Pins and needles.
And nobody pissed off Ed Norton more than Ralph Cramden, or vice versa.
He
needed anger management. He's like, pins and needles. So it actually does work. So if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me.
Ralph, you care if I smoke? I don't care if you burn.
Yeah.
All right. So the PGI was Iowa Thunder?
Yes.
Iowa Thunder. It was earlier this month. We did a podcast, one of the first podcast with our own sound effects out there. So I left after a day or two. We recorded one. So how did the rest of the PGI go?
The rest of the PGI was, it was actually quite fun. I mean, unfortunately, you had to leave before any of the big shows started. Mm-hmm. So we saw some great, just great shows. One was better than the next. Of course, Friday was a fantastic show. That's the end show for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We had perfect weather, no rain. You know, tons of fireworks were sold out there. Tons of fireworks were lit off and looked at. Food was great.
Mm-hmm.
Attendance was up. You know, my job was pretty much a little bit harder on Saturday, taking down everything and getting sure everything was cleaned and out of the barns. But we had a good time in that Clear Lake. You know, the lake where Buddy Holly went swimming at his demise, you know, that was a beautiful lake there. So we rented that stupid pyramid house. It looked like a giant pyramid. Cool look. It was a typical real world house. It looked cool from the outside. The inside just wasn't practical, you know. And I kept getting lost in the house. But besides that, though, it was
a trail of breadcrumbs.
Yeah, it was strange. You know, had three kitchens and no stove. But it was different, though.
No stove.
Yeah, it was a really weird layout.
Was it a grill?
Outside, okay. But you know, we didn't have any time for it anyways. But you know, we got a nice pontoon boat. I went tubing, and we all kind of went tubing. Dino didn't go tubing, and
Tino's a big guy like me. I can't say I blame him on that.
Yeah, we try to get him out there, but he's, you know.
The last time I went tubing, the guy who was driving was a total tool, for lack of better words, and he drove really fast, and this was probably 20 years ago, wanted me to fall off. He got me to fall off, and I swear to God, I lost the feeling on the right half of my body for like three seconds.
Hitting that water, yeah. Now, my memory serves me right. I think the last person to drive a boat when I was tubing years ago with you was that kid. I liked his sister back then. I think his name was Jeff.
Jeff Sabe, right?
No.
Wasn't that Jeff?
It was Jeff. It was some guy Joe Pinero worked with.
Yeah, Sabe.
Was that his last name?
Yeah.
That was him. Yeah, and his sister was a real nice girl.
I
was
on
the boat.
I
was in the tube, and they're trying to get me. They didn't get me thrown off. Finally, they just stopped because I think he was going to run out of fuel trying to get me off. But, you know, once I put my mind to something,
you're never
going to
let go.
No, I'm never going to let go. Same what I feel like when someone does me wrong. I'm never going to let go. No. You know who you are. I am still out there.
Thank God for that anger management class.
See, it's already worked.
It's already worked.
They're in waiting. They're almost like the people are waiting for the, death row. It's the same thing. They're waiting on Johnny's row. You know, they never know when they're going to get up next, but it's,
right.
You know.
Up next. You never know who's next, but yeah, they're going to get
but
it soon.
They're on Johnny's row. In fact, I think I'm going to name a new firework Johnny's row, you know.
Oh, I like that.
I like that. And I like that name. We're going to do that.
The most important thing, though, that I have about the PGI were the two girls there all week in that other booth. The two hot girls
selling
the fireworks. They were there all week?
Yes, I did listen to the podcast.
Well, you were there.
But I listened to the podcast when I wasn't on the air with you.
Oh, okay.
About, you know, how Johnny has only men working for him. And, you know, maybe there's some hidden deep secret down there. I think the deep secret is they can load a truck faster than any woman can.
Wait.
And then if you got a woman to load a truck, it wouldn't look like those two in the other booth. So why even go there?
Well, they're superfluous. Obviously, you don't need them, but you kind of want them there.
Well, we want to pass the savings on to customers. Those girls cost big money,
right? And that was the booth with the no labels on their fireworks. It's a mixed message at best.
And this is why I get mad at my mom for not having a sister. You know, she gave me twin brothers. She gave me twin sister. We'd have them every year.
They didn't look like sisters because one was Asian and another one had blonde hair and blue eyes.
Well, so I'm in the process now of adopting two young Brazilian girls. Just to take care of me in my old age. So I fear I get them now, and then I can train them into business. And Chinese, the payroll is too high. I fear the Brazilians would be a little bit, they're more caring. I hear that the Brazilian girls are more caring. I think if we get a couple of them, then we can bring them to the fireworks stand, and they can they can be the new salespeople.
Absolutely. Let me know when. Let me know. Let me know when that happens.
And I think there's something in their contract, if you help them with their homework, that's like half price. So, I mean,
okay,
you can adopt these girls for a much more reasonable price if you help them with their homework.
I was in Mexico once in a strip club, and the girl actually brought out her homework, and I was helping her with her English homework, believe it or not, in Cabo.
Yeah, and did you get it? I hope you got a discount for that.
I think I might have got a free lap dance, I think, out of the deal.
Wouldn't it be nice if they had a self-checkout at the strip club?
What do you mean self-checkout?
Well, you know, you tell them how good you think the song is.
Oh, you pay as you leave.
A self-checkout. You just scan your little wristband. Oh, you had five dances. Well, great, Mr. Star.
I think that's worth $40.
And then just leave it at that, you know.
Yeah, but you and I are honest. You know, honest, good working, you know, humble, you know, straight arrow guys. There's a lot of guys that I can name a few that I know right off the top of my head that would try and skip out and not pay anything.
Yeah, that's the trouble with the self-checkout.
Yes.
I mean, and even myself, they get me to step out without paying sometimes because I'm not seeing that discount coming across for, making me do all the work. You know, I feel like I work at the grocery store now.
Yeah.
And as I'm doing a self-checkout, there's another guy asking me, do you know where the bread aisle is? Well, of course he thinks I'm a cashier.
Because you're working there.
Exactly.
You're checking out. You could, have you ever thought of self-checkout line at Star Fireworks?
I think nobody would pay.
Yes, especially all that little stuff going through there.
Yeah, you know what I always say, if you can't pay someone to take your money, then don't expect someone to pay the money. So that's my philosophy.
That's a good point. And with, you know, knowing some of the cashiers you have at Star Fireworks, it almost is like self-checkout.
it almost self-checkout. I remember that one that was, you know, knitting a sweater. And I go, oh, are you knitting a sweater for me? And she's like, no. I'm like, well, then we're not knitting. So, yeah, I mean, this is
all about me right now. And no, we're not. So, but, and I talked to Robin because we interviewed Robin Cleveland from PGI.
Yep.
And she said that it was a great show. They had a great turnout and that everything went fine. I tried to get some dirt on you guys and she wouldn't fess up. But she did tell me to let everybody know that next year's event is in Wyoming.
Gillette, Wyoming.
So how far is that from Fargo?
Gillette, Wyoming from Fargo, I think, is about a 4 or 5 hour drive for us, I believe.
Further west?
Further west. You almost like you're going to Sturgis. You're going, you kind of, all the motorcycle guys go straight to Sturgis, and we kind of veer off and go a little further west, and we're in Gillette, Wyoming.
Okay.
But that is, unfortunately, that's not it's so far that a lot of the East Coast people don't go. But we're hoping that we get a better attendance. There won't be as many vendors. Of course, Johnny Starr will be vending there as usual.
Of course.
But I know a lot of the other vendors aren't going to be vending because they said, it's too much money, too far, there's not enough people. But let's hope that that we get some good support from Gillette people in the area around there. And once again, Star Fireworks will probably be sponsoring the food because there won't be... nobody else to do it. So,
nobody else has stepped up.
You know, as my mother always said, we got to eat.
Right. And it's at the Camplex Multi-Events Facilities in, what was it again?
Gillette,
Wyoming. So, and that, the dates are?
Dates, I think, are like August 15th or 16th. It always, it's like that first Saturday.
Okay.
I think it starts on the first Saturday. First
Saturday of
August. 7th or 8th, something like that. 8th or the 16th, something like that.
So that's something to look forward to next year.
And then I will be hiking around Devil's Tower.
Is that in Wyoming?
That's in Wyoming.
That was from Close Encounters, right?
Yes. And hopefully I'll have a leash for Dino by then, Tim, so I could drag him along behind me.
I don't see Dino hiking.
Well, we're going to try. You know, we're going to Branson, Missouri this Monday. I have to leave on Labor Day.
Is there a convention there?
Convention, yes, for the NFA, which is the National Fireworks Association. A little more upscale, a little more higher class than the PGI. Nearly not as much fun. Mm. But we'll be in Branson, Missouri, which will be fun. There's a great hiking trail in Branson, Missouri, which I already told Dino that we'll be going on as soon as we get to town. And he didn't seem too happy about that. But he's actually waiting for our leaving on Monday to go out there. So he's actually here in Chicago right now this whole week waiting for me to leave on Monday. And we're going to drive out to Branson, Missouri.
Oh, all right.
We're taking the show on the road, as usual.
Nice. Very nice. How long does that one last?
That one, it used to start Wednesday through Saturday.
Okay.
The big show on Saturday. Now, all of a sudden, I found out I have a demo to shoot on Tuesday. So, obviously, they're starting it a day earlier.
It seems like they keep extending these things.
Yeah. Well, everybody wants to join, and everybody wants to do a demo. There's not enough days. So, now it's going to go Tuesday through Saturday. The last day of the trade show is Friday. That's what I'm involved in. So, I'll be leaving Friday night. I think I've seen enough fireworks, you know, between our own demos and our wedding shows that we do and all the parties that we put on for everybody. So, I'm going to skip out the last show on Saturday, get back to Fargo, take care of some business, and then it's off to China in a couple more weeks after that.
That's the one I'm waiting for. That's going to be fun.
So,
that's
going to
be fun. the last thing I noticed about PGI, I walked around in the barn and, you know, I saw some names. I love these firework names. I got to share these with you. You probably seen them while you were there, too. So some of the names of these cakes, Green Eggs and Blam.
Green Eggs and Blam.
I love that one. That's kind of funny. Nice Rack. Did you see that
Nice
one?
Nice Rack. Yeah, I've heard of that one before.
Picture
I've seen
the girl with the nice breasts there. Yeah, that was
that's
a good
probably
one.
A nine shot rack it was on, I would imagine.
Nice Rack. Kick Ass Kanaki. I don't know. The Box. And there was one called Call Me Maybe, and it looked like a phone. Isn't that a song?
Oh,
Call Me Maybe.
That's
your favorite song?
That's my favorite song to shrink wrap too. You can really get some speed as you're going around a pallet shrink wrapping to Call Me Maybe. Yes. And it was one of my favorite videos too. I love the Call Me Maybe video. That was one of my favorites. Yeah, so it was a fantastic one as well.
And there was another one, Truck Yeah.
Truck Yeah, okay.
Truck Yeah. Keep Digging.
Mm.
Spud Gun.
Spud Gun, okay.
Okay, did you see that one?
No,
it looked like an actual spud gun. You know, the spud guns that people use to shoot.
I think it was a spud gun.
It was a firework, but it was called spud gun.
Oh, it was? Okay.
I asked them, because it was confusing to me, too.
Did you see that they had some spud guns?
Yeah.
I've seen those, okay.
Pyro Swag, which you have.
That's mine, yeah.
That's yours. And then Say Hello to My Little Friend.
Oh, Say Hello to My Little Friend.
I'm actually kind of excited about that because my son is here tonight, and we're probably going to end. We have a choice. I gave him a choice of two movies. We can either watch Scarface or Pulp Fiction.
Oh.
So that's a good one, though. But he wants to watch Pulp Fiction.
Both good violent movies.
Yes. Good.
I always refer to, the movie... what am I looking for? Scarface, because I always had a big love for Tony Montana with the way he talks and
all the money,
and I always say hello to the bad guy.
Fly, Pelican, fly.
Yeah, you know, in the government's eyes, I'm always the bad guy. So I'm like, say hello to the bad guy. So this is what the bad guy does. Now I remember years ago, if you remember correctly, I took you to a place on Milwaukee Avenue just off of Fullerton. It was during the movie when it came out, Scarface.
Okay.
And there was a sign on the side of the building that said Montana Realty Company.
I do remember
I wish
that.
I would have took a picture of that. Oh, well, of I course, do it was the years before telephones and camera phones and all the other stuff.
Right.
So obviously we just have a visual in my mind of it.
Right.
Which is what none of these kids will have anymore because they all got smartphones and iPhones.
Yeah, it's
and
crazy.
They're going to have no more photo albums, though, because nobody's printing these pictures. You know, they're in their phone. The phone gets lost. It goes swimming, whatever. They're never going to be able to look back at a photo album like our parents collected, and I still have one sitting on my coffee table in my living room. Sometimes I'll open it up, just look back at the old pictures and see, how many people are really still in those pictures and the old, what was the beer on the kitchen table at Christmas Eve, how times have changed. At one time it was Hams, the next year was Schlitz, and, these are things that... these kids today are not going to be. Nobody has any photo albums. Photo album in their phone, but something's going to happen to that phone. It's not going to be around for 50 years.
Well, right, and then you download it to your computer. But then if your computer,
Eventually, it just goes away.
Nobody prints them anymore. No. I guess the thing would be to save it on a flash drive or save it on a CD.
And that'll get lost in moving, of course, and then slideshows and what nobody wants to look at these. They want to go through a book. But,
let's face it, we're getting old.
That's it. They're changing.
Times are changing. Yeah. And then, so, keeping with the talking about some fireworks and the cakes and things like that. So, last time we compared three, I forgot what they were, and we talked about, we did movie time and we did the fountains.
Yeah, we did the fountains.
The 4th of July movie time and another one. So, let's talking about cakes and names of cakes and stuff. So, you ready? I want to name this segment the Star Chamber.
Okay,
We're going to, maybe we'll get some music for it later, but right now we're going to throw three fireworks into the Star Chamber, and let's talk about all three. And then if you wanted the best one, which one you would shoot off, which one you would save for later, and which one you don't really care about, although I'm sure you'll say you like them all. But first one, and see, this one always confuses me. A lot of people love this one at Star Fireworks. This one you can't keep on the shelf. It's called Under Pressure. And the picture, if you look at it, it's sumo wrestlers. Am I right?
Sitting on little Japanese guys.
Oh, see, I didn't see that. That's why they're under. Now I get
under
it.
Under pressure. You see them, they're like pounding their fist on the ground and the guy's sitting on them.
Oh, I always think of the Queen and David Bowie song, Under Pressure.
Yeah, well, I named it Under Pressure because I love that song.
Okay.
But the label was also designed... Yeah. With humor in mind. So these are big sumo wrestlers sitting on little Chinese people.
No, okay. And I, for those people who are who will listen eventually and they want to see these, I'll throw all these up on Twitter. So why don't you explain this? It's a 500 gram.
It's a 500 gram cake. Now, I always tell people it looks a little hokey with all those little tubes and all that. The outer tubes go off first, and nothing really special there, but
how
nice
many outer
big
tubes
bright
are
colors.
There?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
I thought
eight,
you would know.
Nine,
you designed
10, 11,
the thing.
12, 13, 14, 15. I think it's 15.
15?
15 outer tubes. And those go off one at a time, and nice bright colors, mm-hmm. nice good pop to them, nice chrysanthemums, some willows in there. But then those four big tubes in the center all right. go off at once, making it a cake with its own finale. And that last four has a big loud crackling with salutes. So it's really kind of got a nice, real nice ending.
Is there any benefit, and people love this one, I can't say that enough, but I don't know if I've ever seen one shot off. I'm gonna have to next time I'm up there.
It was a big hit at the PGI as well this
year. Was
it?
Yeah. So and now that I know the sumo wrestlers are sitting on little Asian men, I love it even more.
Yeah.
So then is there a benefit of having the tubes like that exposed like that out, or you know, normal cake, right? Those tubes would all be just covered, right?
Yeah,
in a box. But these are exposed. Is there a benefit to that, or just you like the way it looks?
No, I'm not really a big fan of the way it looks, because I'm sure it was probably a little more reasonable to build that way, but people don't want to see everything hidden in a box. So this is actually showing you, look at the size of these tubes coming out of here.
It looks impressive.
And then look at the size of the four middle ones. Now, if that was all covered, for instance, like the next one, you wouldn't know what's underneath the wrapper.
Well, right. And so that brings us to our next one, which is, one of my favorite movies, Die Hard.
Yes.
This is Die Hard. And that's Dino on the left. And who's on the right?
Left
is Dino.
Yeah. Oh, left is Dino. On the right is Josh.
Josh.
Which used to work for us a couple of years ago. And I nicknamed him the Golden Child. The Golden Child comes every 50 years. And me and Dino missed the first one.
So and so this is a 40 shot cake.
Yeah.
Right? And 500 grams?
500 grams.
Well, tell me about this one.
Now, Die Hard, I really like for its speed and repetitious.
40 shots, you got to get.
Yeah, repetitious firing and so many multied effects. And so I do like that. This is one that you would use more as a finale piece, one of your last shots in your show. Because of the repetitious firing, and then the varied effects.
Okay.
So it's a lot of craziness going on.
A lot of colors, a lot of boom.
Yep.
Okay, and then the third and final that we throw into the Star Chamber today is Born to Ride. And this, I'll describe the cover. It looks like a did you ever see The Invisible Man with Kevin Bacon? Where he's just all muscles and teeth?
Yeah.
It looks like a muscle guy. Sitting in a half of a skull that's a car, that's a truck, and he's just driving. And this is a wise guy. So, and the other two, actually, we should mention that, Under Pressure, Die Hard, and Born to Ride. They're all wise guy cakes. Mm-hmm. So Born to Ride is 45 shots. Why don't you tell us about that one?
Now, Born to Ride and Die Hard are two that I do recommend for the finale of a show. I like Born to Ride as well. Both of those are very similar in that they provide a lot of craziness for the end of somebody's show, where Under Pressure was more of a piece with its own finale. In case you were going to buy anything else and just going to buy one piece, that would be its own cake with a finale in it.
Okay.
So, but these two are similar in the way that they perform. The Die Hard shoots on an angle, and Born to Ride goes straight up in the air.
Oh, okay.
In which, when shooting out on the lake, sometimes people want stuff that shoots straight up in the air because they're not setting the other people's boat canopies on fire on the sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh,
but both of those are always recommended as finale pieces. Those are two of my favorite cakes. Been there for a couple of years like that. I love them.
Okay, so now all three of these are in the Star Chamber. So if we had all three of these in the Star Chamber, Under Pressure, Die Hard, and Born to Ride, I guess pick your favorite and your second favorite and your least favorite.
I would say Die Hard would be my favorite,
mm-hmm.
and Born to Ride would be my second favorite, and Under Pressure would be my third favorite, only because I'm looking for more craziness as opposed to a slower cake with its own finale.
Right. I guess the important thing to note is that they all serve a purpose, and they all have different effects. And
yeah.
But that's good to know, because like we said last time, is these people ask me all the time, and you know, but you know, you don't know which ones are which. So
no.
It's good to know, and especially from the guy who designed them.
Yes. And that's what, when we're designing these cakes, we have to look at every, keep every budget in mind, keep every effect in mind. And, you know, I may not like whistles, but I need to have cakes with whistles because people come in and ask for whistles all the time. So
right.
If a cake has a very good orange color, I may not like it, but I can say, boy, if you want a nice orange effect, this is it. Just like we have Orange Crush, you know.
Right, exactly. All right, you want to do one more?
Yeah, we'll do one more.
Let's do this with reloadables. Reloadables are huge. People love the reloadables, and they always want the best ones. You know, they're always asking which one, and there's so many to choose from. So we got these three. This is a star, or a wise guy. This one is Street Kings. You know, all these reloadables look the same. There's not much to the packaging. So why don't you explain what you get in Street Kings and what is good about it?
Well, Street Kings is a very nice package because you actually get 4 fiberglass mortar tubes in there.
Oh, okay.
Instead of 2. And you also get a combination of canister shells, single break, double break, and triple break.
What's a canister shell?
Canister shell is going to be one of the biggest high-flying shells, biggest breaking, 1 explosion, 2 effects.
Okay.
So say if a willow was coming down, maybe the tips would turn green or red. It would have 2 effects.
So one explosion, 2 effects. Okay.
Yeah. And then your single shells are your normal ball shells, and they're going to be not as high up in the air, but they're still going to perform nice. One nice size explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to get into your double breaks, which you see they're shaped like ice cream scoops on an ice cream cone.
Mm-hmm.
The double breaks are going to go up there and they're going to split apart in the sky, and two explosions for there, and then the same thing with the triple breaks.
Same thing. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's compare that one to Goliath. Now this isn't a this isn't Wise Guy. Who makes this one?
No, this is made by World Class.
Okay.
Now this is once again good marketing. People know Goliath for many years because of the marketing, and also because that particular box is assembled in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So see, they have those 2 black HDPE tubes, which is a
high density
ethylene,
polyethylene,
polyethylene, mm-hmm. Polyethylene,
mm-hmm.
High density polyethylene, and see where they only have the 2 tubes and all the shells are around it, so it makes for a nice looking package.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they want you to see, a nice looking package, but you have to look beneath the packaging, as I always say.
It doesn't sound like you like this one too much.
Well, you pay a little bit more money for it.
For the name.
You're only getting 2 tubes instead of 4.
Right.
And you're getting less canister shells, and you're getting more ball shells. And
the canister shells are better.
Canister shells
effects.
Are better, yeah.
1 break, 2 effects.
So if I had to choose between the 2 of them, Street Kings would be my option because I like more canisters.
Oh, okay.
And the tubes I have are fiberglass. They're going to hold up just as well as that. And it's going to be less in price.
And okay, and then we got one last one before we make our decision. We have the Excalibur. Now, this one's a little different. This one comes in like a box. You don't really see what's in there. You just see, you know, the sides are cut out. It's got the big sword on it. Again, this isn't Wise Guy, is it?
No, this is also World Class.
Okay.
And we picked these two because these are pretty much famous in the fireworks industry because of their...
Yeah, they're all over.
They're all over, Jake's kind of pushes these two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once again, Excalibur is completely different because it is all canister shells, and these are 60-gram canister shells opposed to the 45-gram canister shells that are in the other kits.
Okay.
Now, 60-gram shells came out a couple of years ago, so they're really, you know, going to go a little bit higher, and they're also going to explode a little bit bigger and a little bit brighter.
Okay.
And very good shells, but you're going to get all canisters, which is, like I say, the 1 explosion, 2 effects.
Okay.
You won't have the opportunity to see double breaks and triple breaks and singles. You'll just have the only opportunity to see is canisters and different effects.
All right. So if we throw. These are all size wise. I guess they're all the same. Price wise, they're pretty much similar.
Price wise, they're pretty much similar, within $10 of each other.
So, which one? You know, which is the favorite? Which is the least?
Well, if I had to recommend to someone who never had reloadables, I would say go with Street Kings, because you're getting a variety of different shells, and then
you can pick what you like.
And you can pick what you like, and then you can come back to me and say, "Oh, I love the double breaks," or "I love the canisters," or "I love the triples," and I could point you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
With the canisters, you're going to get all the same type of big high flying shell, which is nothing wrong with that as well. But I think that I would go with the variety if you're a first time shooter. And if you're a old pro like myself, I would probably go with Excalibur, because canisters are my favorite shell. I already figured that out for myself. I know what I like, so that's what I'm going to go with.
With the canisters.
With the canisters.
Okay, so Street Kings you would go first, and then...
Canister second. And Goliath third. Overpriced, overrated.
All right. Well, that was good. I like that. We'll do that more often. We'll do that all the time. We'll just look through three and yep. and see which ones we like and all that stuff. So good. Let's switch gears here a little bit. I have this isn't fireworks per se, but this is more pyro.
Okay.
I was at a concert. I don't know, about 2-3 weeks ago here in Chicago in Tinley Park. Motley Crue. This is the last tour. You know about these guys at all, Motley Crue?
No, I mean you've always been the concert goer. In fact,
right.
you brought me to my very first concert way back years right. ago in Indiana. So I think
yeah.
that was Rolling Kiss or Rolling Stones.
Kiss in Indiana.
Yeah.
And then I dragged you to Rockford to see David Lee Roth.
Yes, and that was. but you know the one I remember the most, and the one I had the most fun at was Brian Setzer.
That was good.
That was one of my favorite.
Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Orchestra,
yes.
yeah. Yes. And that was honestly the one I remember the most.
We'll go back. We'll have to go see him again. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah, he puts on a great show. I really enjoyed that.
I did as well.
Yeah.
I did
so,
as well.
So that one still, I remember that like it was yesterday, in the House of Blues, downtown
yes,
Chicago.
Yes,
Blues,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, Brian Setzer, yeah, plays the House of Blues for 2,000 people. Motley Crue played Tinley Park for 28,000. So,
yeah. Nobody likes to show off, right?
this is what they call their final tour. All good things, all bad things must come to an end. This is Motley Crue's final tour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been around forever. Tommy Lee, the famous Coxman, if you will, he married Pam Anderson and Heather Locklear, and you know, Jerry, see the famous, you know, sex video where
yeah.
he's driving the boat with his, you know,
yeah.
good thing it wasn't.
Once again, no, nobody likes to show off.
Nobody likes to show off. Absolutely. So
yeah.
And actually on this tour, because all these bands, you know, Kiss or whatever, they always say it's the final tour, but then it's not really.
I went to Cher's her last two final performances
yeah.
5 years apart.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but these guys actually, you know, but this must be how, you know, how dumb the fan, they think the fans are. But these guys actually signed a contract saying that they will never tour again as Motley Crue. Those four guys will never tour beyond stage together again, yada, yada, yada. But the point is, who's going to sue them?
Yeah, and why would you do that anyways? I mean,
no,
if
I think Tommy
like
Lee
playing.
Actually signed a contract with his Tool. Actually,
yeah,
I think,
mean,
because,
if you,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I realized, you know, I mean, you know, they could sign that and then they could have some financial difficulty, too.
Right.
As we talked about with Sting, you know.
Yeah, right. Well,
he says
yeah,
as
yeah.
fast as it comes
my
in,
kid needs
he spends
some money.
It.
Right,
yeah.
right, right.
I mean, I know when I went to see Cher, that was her last show. And I
mm-hmm.
then I think her daughter wanted to become a boy. And I'm sure that set her back a couple hundred thousand. So next thing you know, we're back on tour again.
Well, Vince Neil once killed a guy.
Yeah.
Driving drunk, the lead singer killed him.
Yeah,
he's got bills.
Yeah, I mean,
he's got bills. These guys have bills. So
yeah,
So they were on tour. I saw them in Tinley Park, and the one, and I tweeted some pictures from Fireworks Brigade on our Twitter account showing the pictures, and I'll actually put this video up so people can watch it. And the sound I'm not going to put up very loud because the sound doesn't really translate good from
mm-hmm.
this iPhone to.
Mm-hmm.
To what we're going to listen to, but the pyro is just amazing. If you look at the picture we got on the screen now, Nikki Sixx, the lead singer, his microphone is suspended from the ceiling, but the whole microphone stand is in flames.
Is in flames,
these,
yeah.
These guys are with the pyro are, like, you know, second to none. So let's play a little of this. And then the thing I want you to concentrate on is the pyro effects coming out of the back. So,
okay.
And then at the end of this, near the end of it, the bass player, Nikki Sixx, the guy on the left, he gets his bass guitar out, and it's, I think it's that one he's got in his hand, but the bass guitar actually shoots flames, but it's not just like little like sparkler flames. We're talking like flamethrower.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at this. Hopefully it's working. Good. We're rolling. So here's Motley Crue.
Yeah.
So those big fireballs.
Look at those big fireballs.
Yeah. How does that actually happen? In my mind, I picture like just a big container of kerosene or gas or whatever, just spewing flammable liquid into the air and the flames catching it. Is it as simple as that?
Yeah, those particular flaming balls, or what you call them, those are being made by a machine, basically.
Well, right.
Now, in the effect that the pyrotechnicians used to get that same effect, we call them in industry Cremora bombs. So for those of you listening, these flaming big balls that are appearing in the air, these are the after effects of what we would have as a Cremora bomb.
But that's not what those are. How do they do this?
That's some type of flamethrower. I don't know how they
Look at the bass player on the right. Now watch. He's right in the middle, right in front of the drummer. Now watch what's going to come out of his guitar. Look at that.
Yeah.
Shooting flames into the air from his guitar. That is so cool.
Yeah, that's
kinda a flamethrower.
Yeah, that's just kind of like a flamethrower. You're hitting a button and you're turning it on. And if you ever saw, now in Mason City, we went to a Pirates convention. We didn't know we were there, but
right.
Went to a Pirates convention, and a guy drank gasoline and then spit it out of his mouth, and then started
Gene
on
Simmons
fire.
Gene Simmons has done that his whole career.
So that's the same type of... The same type of technique
effect
that they're using.
So there's just like a little pilot light, so to speak, and it's just shooting an accelerant at the flame.
Yeah. Now, if we want to educate your son, we can go get a aerosol can, and then we can do our own little fireball with the aerosol can by lighting it on fire. And that's always fun for the whole family to do.
It's always good for the whole family.
Yeah, we haven't done that in a while. Let's burn the drapes.
let's burn it down. Well, let's, you know, it will be, yeah.
So basically, that's what that is. That is a man-made device.
Well, right. So those things in the back. So that's, you know, I mean, there was like six or seven of them just shooting big, huge. I mean, the flames have to be the size of a VW Beetle.
Oh,
I mean, they're huge.
Yeah.
So how big is this thing that shoots? I mean, have you ever seen one of these before?
I don't think I've seen I've seen many devices like that. I think that really is probably about a 3-inch tube that is shooting out of.
A 3-inch tube, like a fireworks tube.
Yeah, like a 3-inch like canister effect that it shoots out, and it just shoots that accelerant and lights it, and it just shoots that.
And it just shoots that ball.
And have you ever seen a flamethrower in the military? Very small nozzle. I mean, it doesn't take much, you know. Yeah, so
that is,
and I think that's what's attached to his guitar on the backside of his guitar, and it just keeps spitting out, you know, flaming balls.
Yeah, and then did you notice how the lead singer went all the way on the other side? He's like, I want to be nowhere around.
Well, I think there's been a couple accidents with these clowns.
Motley Crue. I mean, these guys, you know.
I mean, what other, you know, performances get out of hand?
I would love to do that. You know, someday, you know, we email or we can call or whatever, and we can, like, when a big show comes through Chicago, like a Kiss or a Motley Crue or whatever, with a lot of pyro, and we go interview a pyro guy.
Well, yeah, we actually could do that a lot easier because my cousin Joey, of all things, is dating the daughter of a guy. I think they broke up, but he's still working for the father, I think. And he actually does indoor pyrotechnics for, like, Taylor Swift and some big stars.
Where does he live?
They're in Addison.
In Illinois.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we should be able to hook that up.
That would be good.
Yeah, we should be able to get that hooked up pretty fast.
I would love it. You know, we just talked to somebody about pyro and you know, and you know, future things, talk about, you know, how to get into pyro if you want to do. I mean, there's a difference between, you know, fireworks, which is what you do, and pyro, but it still blends over.
Well,
you
we dabble a little bit in the pyro, indoor pyro, for banquet halls between our flaming candles that are in the nightclubs and our centerpieces that light up, sparklers and blow off confetti. So we dabble a little bit indoor fireworks.
Right.
You know, but nowhere near to the extent these people are. We do it for small weddings and parties like that.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's something like that. And I think if I'm right, like... show like that, the fire department has to come out and they look at, they make them run through all the effects that they're going to do. So they have to. So how much? I mean, it's just the cost of the accelerant. How much would a machine like that cost if I want to make my own big, huge 4 foot flame balls?
Yeah, I'm not really sure, but I've seen at other PGI conventions like these air cannons that
shoot fire.
No, that just sound like a big, huge explosion, like a big boom. You know, we'd have to send a 6-inch shell up in the air to make a noise like that, and they just hit a button, boom.
And it makes a noise.
You know?
Oh, I like it.
So
like
there's a lot of different things out there, you know. But once again, it's fake.
It's what?
It's fake. We don't like fake stuff. Pyros want, you know.
Okay.
We want Lampari shells. We want Cremor bombs. We don't want some industrialized cannon just shooting a flaming ball.
That looks pretty well, kick ass. Yeah, right? You know, come on.
It looks good, but you know, look how many jobs were lost in the making of that.
All right, and before that, so that's that. So before we get to the ALS challenge and all that,
I'm kind of nervous about this ASL challenge.
ALS. First things first. I've had this Chicago Tribune sitting in my file here since July 17th. So, and we could just talk about this briefly, and I wanted to talk about it last time. We never got to it. So, I know that you're always talking about, you know, the ATF, and the ATF governs fireworks, right? Alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Right?
And firearms. Yeah, I don't ever seen fireworks, but they somehow
it's part.
Yeah, grouped onto that.
Yeah. So there was an article in this front page of the Tribune, Thursday, July 17th. Fed steps up gang efforts. More ATF and FBI agents joining cities fight to cut violence. Now, anybody who pays any attention to the news knows that Chicago has a big violence problem. It's really all stems with the gangs, but you know they want to make us seem like we're all violent weirdos that just go around.
Yeah,
shooting.
I mean,
other.
The violence in Chicago is so bad that even I go to Mexico. I mean, I have a better chance with a drug cartel than you do with all these yahoos
exactly. In
Illinois.
I'm surprised we haven't had a a thing like Ferguson or the thing in Florida, Trayvon or whatever it was. I'm surprised we haven't had anything like that here because, you know, it's just waiting to happen. But anyway, so I'll read like the first couple paragraphs. 2 weeks after Chicago's rampant gun violence shot back into the national spotlight with a bloody 4th of July weekend, federal authorities are scheduled to announce Thursday that 7 new ATF agents are being deployed to the city to try and help stem violence. By the year's end, the move will boost to 52 the number of ATF agents in the Chicago office of the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, which traditionally has worked closely with Chicago police on tracking the flow of guns into the city and tracking of guns used in crimes. I understand that they track guns, but 52 agents. I didn't even think they have an office big enough to have 5 agents. They have 52 agents, you know, bringing working on gang efforts. I guess my question is, how hands-on are they in your line of work, and do they really? I mean, is it a good working thing, or what's your take on that?
Well, in my opinion, maybe I shouldn't tell my opinion. from what I hear, the ATF has a very bad track record. It's probably the worst organization in the government. If you want to, you know, I mean, talk, you know, frank here, and which we can.
Well, but it seems like my point is they're overworked. Don't the fireworks people need their own group to watch to help you out and expedite things?
We don't need our own group.
Less people.
No,
okay.
Yeah, let's have that's less people.
See, I'm a banker, so we just put a whole committee on it.
Well,
let's
face it. Okay, the ATF did a great job during 9/11. That was fantastic. You know, they didn't see any of this coming, so you dropped the ball on that one.
Right.
They sold guns to a Mexican cartel that actually was used to shoot their own agents. That was another blunder.
Right.
You know, they go after these, you know, a guy blows off a couple 3-inch mortar shells outside, and, you know, they want to hang them, and they come by and threaten you with, you know, your life, and, you know, your firstborn's going to prison, and, you know, it's a firework device.
Right.
I think, they should really control more what they're supposed to, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
And explosives, I guess, is in there.
Yeah, and, but, you know, trying to, you know, arrest a group of citizens, you know, just having a little fun on the 4th of July is almost, I think that's what the local police should be used for.
Right.
And the ATF agents should really, try and curb some of this violence and track the guns, and that's what they should be doing. That's what I think they're supposed to be doing. But I'm glad that there's so much gang violence, so the ATF could be, wrapped up with all these gangs and getting the guns off of the streets and just leave the people shoot the fireworks. Just, it's kind of irony there too, isn't it? I mean, you're shooting fireworks to support your freedom in the country,
right?
And there's nothing free in this country. There's no freedom in this country anymore.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Forget that freedom of speech. I mean, the guy just lost the L.A. Lakers. It was the L.A. Lakers.
No, it was the
what were name?
The Clippers.
The
LA
Clippers. L.A. Clippers. L.A.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole.
L.A.'s my lady.
But we could go into that. I mean, that was.
He was
a private conversation.
I'll one man's opinion of how he feels.
Exactly.
And it cost him millions. Well, it made him billions.
Billions, but that's because of what he does, and that's because the NBA,
I understand how
it doesn't pass the sniff test, so to speak.
I understand, but that means there is no freedom of speech, because if there really is freedom of speech, I should be able to talk candidly about whoever I want, with repercussions.
Not repercussions from the government. It's repercussions from his employer. And I'm on your side. I agree with you 100% that Donald Sterling, for as short-sighted and as stupid as his comments were, he got railroaded out of his position forever, however archaic he is. Yeah. But it was a personal private conversation between he and his girlfriend, and it was recorded, I think, without him knowing. But it wasn't against the law. It was the NBA was just really, the NBA was succumbing to pressure because they have, what is 80% of the NBA is African American. So.
No, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that it's. I'm not even saying that it's wrong what happened, how, maybe,
he shouldn't have,
lost NBA
his team
and all that. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they're wrong in it either.
Right.
I'm just saying that if there really is a freedom of speech, we can't take this stuff personal.
Yeah, but a lot of people take it personal and they use it to further their own agenda.
Yeah, and then,
I agree with
and
you.
And years ago, we had that news commentator. He wrote for a newspaper. Now, I've always remember a newspaper saying, you have that little clip in there saying that we don't actually feel the way this commentator does. You know, he just works for us. Well, that didn't work when Jimmy DeGreek, he made a wrong comment.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. He got fired right away. That was even before, things were even crazy as they are now.
We could go and way down that rabbit hole and talk about.
Well, one more I thought was kind of funny though, because it is my podcast.
Okay, no, go ahead.
We lost to South Korea. And that was not good. I mean, I'm happy for the Koreans though, because I have many Korean friends, and I'm happy for them too.
A bunch of little kids.
Yeah, little kids, and
of
I think it's fun. And best thing about that game is only 6 innings, which
that's
I
awesome,
can watch
man.
That even myself. Yes. I can do that.
And you know what? They only play 4 if they're getting beat real bad.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, this should the pros should really take a look at this.
I hear you.
But anyways, I just find it impressive how we all went to JRW. A moment. JRW Field there, Jackie Robinson, whatever.
Okay, the Chicago team that lost, but they won the American Little League,
but we went, we had this big, support, I call it a little jamboree out there on the south side, and a big trolley of buses going down to Millennium Park, which I thought was really nice, and it was a great thing.
Yeah.
But what I found amazing was, our governor Pat Quinn comes running out there in a yellow shirt, and he's hugging everybody.
Don't get me started
and
on that guy.
I cannot believe how many times they use the word God, which doesn't bother me one bit, but I find it funny how you can say the Pledge of Allegiance
right
in school, but yet you go out to one of these festivals on the south side and they mention the word God 150 times, And but yet you can't say it in a school.
Right.
So you see there again, it all brings it's
a double standard.
Yeah, it's the whole thing that groups together as freedom of speech.
Right.
You know,
there was a kid. I read a story. There was a kid that got expelled from school for saying "bless you" to somebody after they sneezed.
Yes, I mean, you know,
that's crazy.
And now that's why I took in a line from Seinfeld. Geez, you're good looking. You
know? that episode was on yesterday.
Yeah, but you don't want to do that in a
yes. Geez, you're good looking.
You know, you say that to the wrong guy,
right,
and it hits you
right
in the head. You know,
one of my peeves, and actually it's in here that I was going to go from the beginning, and I just skipped over it, was Pat Quinn in this Bruce Runnier or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The you know, because Quinn is the Democrat, and for yeah those who don't know Illinois politics, and Runnier is the Republican challenger, and Quinn is the governor. And I me being a real estate banker, I've been to some speeches and some events where Runnier spoke, and the thing that really, really hit home to me is he's very pro business, which should interest a guy like you who's a businessman.
Yes.
He's pro business, and let's face it, at the end of the day, he's a multimillionaire who knows how to make money, who's very smart, and who like all guys who know how to make a lot of money, they know how to do things the right way to make money. And the only thing that Quinn could keep saying is, well, this Runnier guy, he's a traitor, and he's anti-patriotic because he opens up these shell companies in other countries and pays less taxes. I got news for you. Any smart guy, that's what they do. They pay less taxes. In the meantime, Quinn was the guy who like took $5 million of taxpayer money and started some anti-violence campaign right before his last election and pretty much got him elected. And 3 months later, or 6 months later, whatever it is, the whole program was shut down because they were misappropriating the funds, and it was going to all the cronies.
Yeah, I mean, it's always the same old thing, you
right
know. I always say Crook County Department of Connections. I mean, it's really always the same. But what gets me is, you know, I mean, Burger King is leaving. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and Walgreens is talking about going to Sweden. So, you know, we can't expect.
I think they decided to stay.
Yeah, I'm sure someone got to them and said, you know, my. But no, it's just. But you know what it is? Like I tell everyone, and Pat Quinn, I told Pat Quinn myself personally, yes, Caterpillar will not be moving. You may be right. It cost them too much to move. They're going to stay here in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
But they will not be expanding. And that's what
right,
business
right
owners like to do. We like to expand
and make more.
We don't like to just sit on the fence and wait for someone else to kick us off, you know?
Right.
And so yeah, that's the biggest part. But I just love how they all just, you know, they talk a good game, but they're, you know, meanwhile, we're just, you know,
yeah.
Well, riddled by debt. And then you got, and then you're spending, you know, thousands of dollars that we don't have running trolleys down the Millennium Park.
That was a lot of people were grandstanding and wanted to be seen with that team, even though it's a bunch of kids. And, you know, I'm just happy for them.
And I was very happy
for them. I was sick of seeing them in the front page of the newspaper. And today was an article about one of the kids who is basically homeless.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's a very sad thing, but it's like, you know, they're Little League players. Everybody's played Little League at one time or another.
Yeah, and I don't remember anybody when we were growing up at, you know, 12 years old, that none of us were rich.
No.
I don't know what's going on now. What's any different? No, yeah.
All
we're
right
still broke. I'm still broke.
So, yeah, well, we're all broke. Tell me about it. So, all right, so talking about the ALS challenge, we'll segue into that. So ALS obviously is a bad thing. Nobody wants it, and you know, anybody who has it, it's a horrible thing. And with the amount of money everybody's raised over the how many years, you think they would have found a cure by now?
Well, yeah, and I hope it's not misappropriation of funds.
No, well,
I hope thing not.
But these charities like this, like, do you ever watch the NFL in October? They have Breast Cancer Awareness Month is all of October.
Mm-hmm.
So these football players, they all wear the pink stuff. Do you ever see that?
Yeah.
And then they sell it in the NFL. You know, the NFL sells all this pink stuff. So do you know how much they actually goes to breast cancer? It's shocking. This is from Business Insider. According to data obtained from the NFL, the NFL takes a 25% royalty from wholesale price, half retail, donates 90% of the royalty to the American Cancer Society. In other words, for every $100 in pink merchandise sold, $12.50 goes to the NFL. Of that, $11.25 goes to the American Cancer Society, and the NFL keeps the rest. The remaining money is then divided up by the company that makes the merchandise, 37.5%, and the company that sells the merchandise, 50%, which is often the NFL and the individual teams. Then consider only 71% of the money the ACS, American Cancer Society, receives goes towards research and cancer programs. So there's a little pie chart here. So it's like the American Cancer Society, the money that you get, 3% is administrative, and like 8% of it goes actual towards cancer research. It's, you know,
yeah,
all these things. It's so ready for just, you know, people to misappropriate this, and everybody gets behind a big push.
Yeah, and there's so many people getting paid in that whole deal, you know.
Right.
The whole donation thing. I remember United Way when I got my first job, and they basically almost like strong armed me into donating, you know, 1% of my pay every week, you know, for the whole year to Crusade of Mercy. And you know, I mean, it's just, and then when you look at the people it goes to and how much really goes to, there's a lot of, I mean, there's like CEOs that get paid
right
there, just like there are CEOs and companies that get paid. So,
right, absolutely. All these non-for-profits, there's a lot of people who depend on this as their livelihood. Mm-hmm. I'm going through that now with the charity that I'm on. You know, they want us to expand and grow, and they want us to hire an executive director, and we spend like so much for good. We don't, our overhead is nothing, and they want us to hire an executive director and pay him like, you know, $40,000-$50,000 a year, and but we don't have that in our budget. Well, they'll just bring in that much money in donations. I said, well, then what's the point? And it's a wash. Let them go get their own job.
Yeah, and then there's not going to be any money left over from donations.
Right.
Now, even going back to the firework companies who do this non-for-profit, I mean, it's the biggest joke ever.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fireworks companies do for this non-for-profit is they basically charge 85% of what they would get for retail. So right. It's already high-priced merchandise,
right,
supposedly at wholesale. And then they tell the Cub Scouts and whoever else, go out there and sell it, work it, donate your time, and then you get to keep the other 15%. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so basically they're not doing anything. They're just basically giving a little discount off a retail shelf and saying, right, we're going to donate this, which I don't have anybody working for me. I pay everyone to work for me. And then I still do a donation to these different charities.
Right.
You know, just out of my own pocket, where it doesn't cost anybody any money. These companies found a way to capitalize off these non-for-profit groups and get people to work for free.
Oh,
I mean, so that's just even worse.
Yeah,
I mean,
I hear you. It's crazy. So, and that brings us to the ALS, the ALS Association, which again is a horrible thing. There's their little logo, the A with the hand in there. So,
oh yeah.
So you've been given the ice bucket challenge. I've been given it, and we're both on record as saying it's silly and, you know, whatever. We don't want to do it. So, but you know, we've decided to go ahead with it. Have you heard about like the people that have actually gotten hurt doing this? And like here's an article. Scottish teen dies in the ice bucket challenge related tragedy. Cameron Lancaster I can't even pronounce where he is. He died Sunday. Emergency services, Police Scotland, and the Scottish Fire and Rescue Service and the Scottish Ambulance Services were called to Preston Hill Quarry near wherever. I don't know where it is, but anyway, so after he disappeared around 5 p.m., his body was recovered at around 9 after hours underwater. Although the exact circumstances of his death are yet to be established, locals say the youths have been tombstoning into a quarry in a new take on the ice bucket challenge, tombstoning.
Yeah.
Which has gone viral recently. Usually participants are drenched in freezing buckets of water for charity. Local councillor Elise McGarry said there are rumors and speculation that this tragedy is linked to the ice bucket challenge. So people are dying.
Yeah. I mean, one of my own family members, I wish I had it on video and I'll get it later, but they actually, you see my cousin putting a bucket of water over his, that would be his little cousin's head, and he accidentally hits her in the head, slams the bucket down on her head. You know, so then you see her running off, you know, in a you know, kind of a sad note with her holding her head from the bucket.
Right.
We had another family member had a whole Zamboni
open up.
I've never even seen it open up. It opened up and dumped all on her, these big ice chunks. I mean, you know, if she has a dent in her head later, I'm not going to be surprised.
If she has a dent in her head.
I mean, I mean, why don't we just do a concrete challenge? Let's just dump a bunch of gravel and broken up concrete on your head. See how that feels.
Well, and then here's another one from Corey Griffin, co-founder of the Ice Bucket Challenge, I guess. He drowns in an accident. So this is from HollywoodLife.com. Have you heard about this one?
No, but see, now look at the irony. He wants you to take a bucket of cold water and ice and dump it over someone's head, and here's a man that drowns from water.
What, did he drown? Let's see. It was a diving accident. Yeah, Corey Griffin passed away in Nantucket, Massachusetts. Diving accident just hours after he left a fundraiser where he reportedly raised $100,000 for ALS research. He was only 27 years old.
27, my God. I mean, and a diving accident. And I think they're sugarcoating that because of the freedom of speech like we talked about. I actually think in my little own world, I think that was stemmed as he tried to do a bucket challenge, maybe diving into a bucket of cold water.
You think so?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go. That's my take on it. And they're not going to say that because I don't want to blow this bucket challenge up. But I'm here to say that I bet that man has hurt himself trying to do he killed himself on his own bucket challenge.
Well, it says here that after leaving a fundraiser for ALS, Corey drove off a building at Strait Wharf in Nantucket at 2 a.m. on August 16th and drowned, according to the Boston Globe. He floated to the surface, then he sank. He did not come up again, the report says. Corey was pronounced dead at 3 a.m. He had helped raise $100,000 for ALS research the night of his death. One of his friends who has ALS spoke up. Team Freight Train. The guy's name is Pete Train.
Okay.
So he's Team Freight Train.
Oh, okay.
Lost a good friend today. Corey Griffin helping out was nothing new for Griff. He held his own event for me back in 2012, just a few months after diagnosed. He worked his butt off, yada, yada, yada. My thoughts and prayers are with Corey's family. The Ice Bucket Challenge, here it says, the Ice Bucket Challenge has raised $22.9 million for ALS research, according to the ALS website. Now, this is as of I printed it on August 28th. It was August 19th. So I'm sure this is actually gotten more, but again, so the founder of the ALS Challenge drowned to death in his car. So that's
I just wonder if he was trying to do like a giant
Well, don't you think they would have been recording
ice bucket
it,
where he just flies his car off the wharf? I mean, I feel bad for him, and where I'm not poking fun at him, but I mean, I think it's pretty funny that he dies drowning and everyone else is near death drowning with this bucket of cold water. And I've seen that like in those Russian bathhouses. You don't need a cold water. They're crazy, those people.
Well, they're shrinkage if there's cold water.
Well, I mean, they dump this cold water over their head and you just see their pain in their eyes. And why are you sitting in a hot box to begin with,
right?
If you intend to dump cold water on your head because you're too hot, why don't you just stay home in an air-conditioned house?
That's a very big shock to the system.
And why do we want to shock our system?
But people want to do that.
How about that upper and lower GI? Wasn't that a shock to my system?
Yes, but and you don't want to do it again. Certainly not with cold water.
No, certainly not with cold water.
It's a horrible thing. ALS is a horrible thing, and we hope that they find a cure soon. But like everybody else, we've been challenged. You've been challenged. Now, let's do it. As you saw the bucket
is
outside.
Is this cold water going to hurt?
It's cold water. It's not going to hurt. But I did do, as we are the fireworks brigade.
Okay.
So I did do a fireworks twist on it. So there's a string of underwater fireworks. Whitney, you gave me some of the, what's that wick that's called that goes underwater?
Green visco fuse.
Yeah. So I got some of that. So I put, I think it's like 30 or 35 those little the
big splash dynamite.
Big splash dynamite. Nice. That sold at Star Fireworks.
Okay.
I had some of those left over. My son was playing with them. So I got a big bucket, a big beer tub out in the garage. Do you know how this works? You have to say my name, your name. So I'll say my name. You say your name. We'll walk downstairs. We'll bring the microphones with us.
Okay.
You say your name. Say, I'm accepting the ice bucket challenge. And then I don't know about you, but I'm not going to pay it forward. I'm not going to nominate anybody else.
I'm not nominating anybody else. So we're going to do an ice bucket challenge. I don't know, are we doing cold water, ice, and now we're putting firecrackers in there.
Yes, we're doing our own twist. And we're going to stand in the bucket. It's not, I mean, it's you know, Big Splash Dynamite underwater, so really you're not going to get hurt.
I don't know. You know, I made that Big Splash Dynamite. Well, and they popped pretty good.
I think we'll be okay. I tried it out. So, all right. So, you ready? Let's.
All right. Let's go for it.
All right.
I'll follow you.
All right. Yeah. To get out here, and there's going to be traffic noise and things like that because we've got to walk to the garage. So, yeah. Let me get out here. We got the garage door open.
It is a beautiful day, Alto. This is great.
It is great. You go.
Oh, yeah, here we are.
All right, so here's the bucket. Get in.
Oh my God, this
it's
is
cold.
This is cold. This
yes,
is
I know.
Cold.
I'll get in too. Let me light it. All right, you ready?
Okay.
All
light
right.
It up.
Okay, here we go. Be ready. I see it going.
Oh Jesus!
Holy crap!
What are you telling it wouldn't hurt?
Crazy.
Oh my God.
Stop. I'm going to get out. I can't take it anymore.
This is even nuttier than this guy.
The Zamboni's looking pretty good right about now.
My shoot.
Jesus, that's it.
That's enough for that.
So my name is Ron the Banker, and I'm not paying it forward, and I accepted my ALS challenge, so please don't do it anymore.
This is Johnny Starr, and I accepted this crazy challenge. And I'm not nominating anyone because I wouldn't do that to my dead grandmother because it would it would make her very upset to nominate anyone. So, no. Yes, I'm not paying it for it, and that's it. I'm good. And
we're
that
good.
Hurts, and my hair is burning.
My
hair is singed from the firecrackers.
Let's go back in.
Okay.
All
yeah,
right. Let's go back in. We'll sit down, and let's end the show the right way like
yeah,
we always do.
Let's get a towel. I'm dripping all over the place.
I got some towels. You got the towel? Okay.
I got
there
a
you
towel.
Go. All right. So that was it. That was our ALS bucket challenge. Now
well,
nobody
hit me
can
in the eye. I think I'm missing an eyebrow.
I think you are.
Oh my God!
You brought a pair of shorts to change into. Yeah. I think I actually soiled mine.
Nobody knew that firecrackers. Well, this is our own challenge now. They can start putting firecrackers in the ice.
There you go. You sell more. You would have thought of something like this, the ALS fireworks challenge. You could have. I was thinking of that, and maybe for a future podcast. Things that would be better with fireworks.
Okay.
You know, like take a bath. Would be better with the ALS bucket challenge was clearly better with fireworks.
Well, it was a lot more fun.
It was a lot more fun, a lot more interesting.
It made me jump up and down a little more with those firecrackers going
right.
off.
Did you have the video going?
No.
Both forgot. I'm not doing it again.
No.
Well, they're going to have to take our word for it.
No video.
Okay. Everyone's going to have, but so things that, so I'll give you a homework assignment. Maybe we can talk about that when we're in China.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're going to do another one before China. I think you got a pretty hectic schedule
with
Branson
hectic.
And stuff. So we'll just meet up in China next, mm-hmm. and that'll be, I can't wait. That's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe a little homework assignment. Think of things that are better with fireworks. And I'll leave you one I thought of. You know, Shark Week just ended or whatever it was. You pay attention to Shark Week.
Yeah.
That movie Sharknado.
Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about it or whatever. Sharknado. I was thinking the movie Sharknado would be better with fireworks. Now, wouldn't it be cool if the sharks that were coming out of the tornado actually had, like, you know, fireworks in them, and as they were hitting you, they were actually blowing up? That would make it a much more interesting movie to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's nothing better than watching a little kid, you know, feeding fish and then throwing in one of those little Big Splash Dynamite in the water, and the fish just gobbles it up. I mean, you can't.
I've never seen that price tag on
good, clean American fun. No video game here. These are live fish. These are live firecrackers. You know, eat, swim, pelicans.
Fly, pelicans, fly. Oh, that's it. That's what I'll be doing later.
Yeah, so you
got to
feed the fish. Feed the fish a little bit. Let the fish think they're food. And then when you drop the firecracker and the fish gobbles it up like it's more fish food, and then his face blows off, and it's fun for the whole family.
Right, exactly.
And these are you're not hurting these little people because they're not going to go any older anyways because bigger fish are coming to get them anyways. So you're actually feeding the bigger fish and a little enjoyment out of it.
Jacques Cousteau is turning over in his grave
yes.
right now. Right now, Jacques Cousteau is turning over in his grave, and actually Dino is calling me, which is funny. But he doesn't know we're ending here. We can call him when we're done.
Yes.
So anyway, so that's it. And hest we go off on a note like this, but you know, as we've said all along, ALS is a bad thing. Breast cancer is a bad thing. We hope it. You know, everybody finds a cure. And we didn't mean make light of the ALS, but we kind of did the ALS challenge. Not ALS, the challenge.
The challenge.
Right, exactly.
Hurting more people.
And with that being said, we're gonna end it off today with our typical song. But right before, I got, and you were the one that hipped me to this one because I forgot this movie. I forgot about the movie Ted with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, Ted.
So his reference to ALS. So we'll go out with Ted with Mark Wahlberg. I don't know what his name was in the movie, but let's go out with that. And until I see you in China, we'll have a good one.
Have a good one.
All right.
So, talk to me, Johnny Quest. How are things with you and Lori?
You know, things are great, actually.
Oh, that's great.
That is great.
You know, Lori would hate me for saying this, but, you know, she told me how you are with the office. And as one gentleman to another, I just want to say, I really hope you can get Lou Gehrig's disease.